We're here today not only to mourn Cadet Munn's loss, but also to celebrate his life and his service to our country. This is an unusual funeral, one that the Munn family have been waiting on for over 65 years.
Congressman Charlie Wilson was among family, veterans, and community members who came to the funeral of Ernest Glenn Munn last weekend. Munn was just 23 years old when he died on November 18, 1942. He was the oldest of four children growing up in Pleasant Grove, Ohio, just across the river from Wheeling. His sisters Jean Pyle, Sarah Zier, and Lois Shriver have fond memories of their brother.
We were just like four ornery kids. We were just playing and doing different things and working on the farm. And my brother would always do something to some of the farm equipment and make something for us to get on and ride. And he'd start up at the top of the hill and take us down through the meadow and open gates and down clear in the bottom, and we thought we was going to be killed, you know. We were screaming and crying, and he just had a barrel of fun with us.
Well, he was handsome, yes, and he, knowing he was older, that we should listen to him, you know. If he told us not to do something, why, we didn't do it. So he kind of looked after us.
I just have the memory that I was always with him at home. These girls kind of went together, and I was a fly in their ointment, you know, because I was younger. And so he took me under his wing, and we'd do a lot of things together. And he was my idol, really. I loved him so much.
Their father was a farmer who also owned a local gas station, and their mom was a homemaker. After graduating from Martins Ferry High School in 1936, Munn worked a few years at Fidelity Investment Corporation in Wheeling. Pyle says a co-worker sparked Munn's interest in the Air Force.
He was real excited about it. You know, little farm boy, you know, thinking about going up in the air and flying an airplane. Why, he was just all set for that. And the time he was in there, he really enjoyed it, as he was on his training missions. And the letters he would write home to Mother, he was just happy as anything.
November 5th, 1942. Dear Mother, I received your lovely letter 4 days ago, but I have been so busy that I have not had time for anything. My girlfriend and a friend of hers drove up from Santa Ana this last weekend. We had a good time. Went to a dinner dance at the Hotel Senator in Sacramento. Things like that are good for the mind and soul, getting away from the regular arduous routine. It makes one feel like a free man again. We ran into a storm and came back. They don't like to fly over those very high mountains when it is stormy, because they are afraid of downdrafts forcing the plane into a side of a mountain. Not that I was scared, but I was glad when they decided that we had better go back. If I don't mention any particular names at home, tell them not to feel bad, because I do think of you all constantly. I must close now. Your loving son, Glenn.
This was the last letter Munn wrote to his mother. 2 weeks later, a training mission over the Sierra Nevada mountains in California went wrong. Pyle still vividly recalls finding out that her brother was missing.
It was November, and it was a lovely day. I was working at a service station in Martins Ferry during the wartime, greasing cars and changing oil and all that stuff that they do at service station. And my dad drove in, and I wondered, what's Dad doing here? And he says, Glenn's been lost. Well, that just floored me, you know. Mother was really upset. Well, she tried to keep us from feeling bad, but I'd catch her in another room crying and, you know, things like that. And we all were just upset about it.
5 years after the crash, hikers discovered the wreckage. There were scattered remains and clothing, but no bodies. Munn's sister Sarah Zier held out hope that her brother would be found.
In my own mind, I wondered if they were really searching as much as they should through the years. missing, there's hope. And that's all we had to depend on, was just, you know, that someday he would be found and we'd have him back this way with us.
Then in 2005, hikers found the body of a World War II airman encased in ice. Aviation cadets Munn, Leo Mustonen, Melvin Mortensen, and pilot William Gamber had all died when their plane crashed in Kings Canyon National Park.
Well, we thought for sure it was Glenn because they said it was a blonde. And all the pictures that we saw of the four, we didn't think anybody else had blonde hair but Glenn. But I guess this other fella had blonde hair also. So that was a sort of a sad time. We thought sure it was him, and it wasn't.
That body was Munn's fellow cadet, Leo Mustonen. While Munn's sisters were happy Mustonen's family would receive closure, they wondered if they would live long enough to see their brother found. But in August 2007, they received the call they had prayed for. Author Peter Steckel was visiting the crash site to gather research for his book about the fatal flight when he discovered another frozen body.
I was walking towards that site when I saw something that looked like a tree, a little tree, maybe 4 feet tall, that had been killed by the frost and was leaning over a rock. And so this is at nearly 13,000 feet in elevation. The air is thin, and your brain doesn't work quite as swiftly as it does at sea level. So it took me a moment to realize that there aren't even any grasses growing around here. How could there be a tree? And just at that moment, the sun was shining on an object, on what I thought was a tree, that looked like a gold ring. So I was drawn closer to the object, and as I got closer, maybe 100 or 200 feet away, I realized that, it, of course, it wasn't a tree, that the ring was on a finger, and the finger was attached to a person. And that's when I realized I'd found the second of the four people from the airplane.
DNA testing at the POW MIA Accounting Command in Hawaii confirmed this was the body of Cadet Ernest Glenn Munn. Munn's long journey back home finally came in May, when his body was flown from Hawaii to Pittsburgh International Airport, where his sisters were waiting.
Did I tell you I just wanted to get out and hug that casket? I just felt like he's there and I wanted to hug him. So...
A special military service followed a few days later near Munn's hometown of Pleasant Grove, Ohio. Reverend Martha Bamberger read a poem she wrote.
The wooden box. The wooden box holds the remains of a veteran finally brought home. From 1942, all these years, hoping, wondering, gladness, tears. Many years has slipped away, not knowing where he was. He is now home with his family today. Ernest Glenn has been brought home in full uniform, finally to be laid to rest. As his sisters waited for him while he was on the mountain crest. With military detachment to give all honors as well as it should be, we welcome this well-deserving veteran home for all the Ohio Valley and the world to see. Welcome home, Ernest Glenn Munn. Welcome home, son.
Life goes on here on Maple Street. People come and go, some will never meet. I walk out in
World War II veteran Art Panapucci says Munn's homecoming should give hope to other families.
To find someone after all these years, it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's always hope. I mean, for people who have somebody missing, this is a reminder that there is hope and that somebody may find one of their missing, you know, sons or daughters or whoever they are. Yeah.
It's really a relief to know that he's home.
I think so, too. I think it's an answer to our prayers.
Two other airmen who were in the plane with Munn have not been found. According to the military, there are 78,000 World War II soldiers still missing. But Glenn Munn makes one less. He was laid to rest in the family cemetery next to his mother and father. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Carrie Brown in Pleasant Grove, Ohio. One of theirs go off to war. Here's to the blind bomber and our men fighting in the war. Life goes on.